The following is a presentation of Open for Business, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship's conference for business students and business professionals at the Urbana 06 Missions Convention, held in St. Louis, December 2006. For more information, please visit ofb.intervarsity.org.
Heavenly Father, thank you for Urbana, thank you for all the attendees here who have a passion in Southeast Asia. Lord, we pray that you bless everyone of them here and just bless them with a great plan that you already know for each one of them. And we know that it may be marketing ministry, it may be something else, but no matter what it is, we have to put faith and openness in it. So hopefully let the Holy Spirit enter here and just through this Holy Spirit and that we can learn the information and know what we take from here. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this is the agenda. First of all, we'll talk about equip and then give you some unique perspective about its training and also consulting. Then we'll dive into Indonesia and Southeast Asia, and we'll start with a case study and give you one example of the company we consult over there, and then have some takeaway question. Then Sunny from Vietnam will talk about his organization, which will be a good partnership. And then Rob will also talk about the marketplace initiative or the bootcamp that they have in practice. So this is my bio. So help out in the pre-medical clinic and also start a mentorship program in Silicon Valley for Asian American. Also consult McDonald for social responsibility, work with Wildlife Conservation Society in Uganda, and have summer camp in Ukraine, national judge in business competition. So the philosophy that we have is pretty much trying to repurpose the business. What we mean by that is we try to integrate the kingdom principle into the business practice, and we work with like company, which is like small size, medium to large company, in South Africa, Indonesia, India, and we're going to expand to China this coming year. And what we want to do is to make sure the Christian executive or management learn the kingdom principle and really put it into their business. And when the company do well, then they will create more jobs and then help out the community. And as a result, they will transform the society that they live in and give back into the nations. It's like this. So the methodology that we use is what we call a bicycle model. In here, you see a bike. You have two wheels, of course, and one is focused on character, the other is competency. And the whole thing about this is a true integration. When you see the bicycle frame is to integrate the two together in balance. Innovation is kind of like the gear. You want to shift gear based on what type of innovation you have in different country. And the investment that you put is based on how much effort you put in, just like when you're pedaling. And the impact is the focus direction that you want to move it forward. Next slide, please. So in terms of the character, you look on the right-hand side. So those are the 10F model. It's important not only to focus on business, but also look at the 10 different aspects, which is fun, building, family, faith, fitness, finance, fresh thinking, fulfillment at work, functioning society, and friendship. And for competency, we focus on 10P, and we're going to talk a lot more later on about the 10P model, which is purpose, product, presence, positioning, partnering, processes, people, planning, pace, and profit. So it's important to maximize the impact based on the company that we consult. Next slide, please. So what do we do to repurpose business? First of all, we train a group of consultants in US for about 10 weeks period, and they will go over like books and best case studies so far, which I'm going to go over later. And then they will go on to a venture for 2 weeks overseas to consult one company. And on the final day of the venture, the clients will do a presentation about what they learned, how they plan to repurpose the business. And after that, when we come back to US, they will follow with 100 days program to make sure they're accountable and be successful moving forward. Next slide, please. So when you look at here, as I mentioned before, there's one local team of US consultant. We'll team up with one team of consultant from the hosting country. So one consultant from US, one from local, will work with one company in specific for those 2 weeks. Now the consultant all come from different backgrounds. So some may be teacher, architect, policeman, engineers, and of course people from business background too. But the beauty of it is all of them will go through a similar training for 10 weeks, and the total hours are about 110 hours, so it's pretty hardcore, but if you are into business, it's almost like second nature. And you also apply that not only for consultation, but also for personal development, so it works out really good. And the other picture showed the team that we trained in Jakarta just this year. Next slide, please. So in terms of the format, we'll spend 2 weeks or 10 business days with the clients to go for the 10P. And on structure day, it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll go for the 10P model, and then they will work through the scorecard. And on Tuesday and Thursday, we will go to the company, do prayer walk with them, understand their strategy, and also give them some advice. And then on the second week, on the Thursday, we'll go through a visioning session, try to challenge them and help them to stretch out their vision. So not only think about the business right now, but what are the kingdom implications moving forward. And then they will present the result and they will create a scorecard and work on that with key performance indicator. Next slide, please. So again, I mentioned before, like one local and one foreign. So the bottom picture show at each table who are the consultant and clients, and they go through those training on the structured days. Next slide, please. So one of the tools that we use to measure social impact, first of all, when we go to the country with the clients, we will measure the take a snapshot of how they're doing before we go for consultation. After we do that, we translate them to a spider graph to know where the gaps are, and then we go through the scorecard at the bottom to find out where the opportunity to improve. And we also have a one-page description not only on the operation but also the leadership staff in the management, and also what kind of impact that they should create. And then the good thing about that is, besides the regular business consultation, we also will include the Bible teaching into that as part of the decision making for that. Next slide, please. So right now, in the following slide, Amy will record like the company that she consults and give you a good example of what we actually do. And just to give you a background about Amy, she spent 6 months after consultation in Indonesia to help out the company that she consults. And at that time, she had a chance to meet with the president of Indonesia as well as Nigeria on some of the consulting projects. So we just hear what she has to say. So it's not, so you can click on that.
Hello, everyone. My name is Amy Chang, and I'm a consultant with Equip. I've been on 3 ventures, 1 in South Africa and 2 in Indonesia. I'll be sharing some of my experiences with you. In Indonesia, one of my clients was a large real estate developer called the Caputra Group. They have about $250 million in assets, are publicly traded, have properties in Indonesia, India, and Vietnam, and they focus on hotels, malls, large housing developments, and golf courses. We like to have owners or people in management who are believers come through the EQUIP program because they tend to get more out of it, and as an owner or a manager can implement some of the things that they learned during the 2 weeks. Well, I worked with this Christian company with a son named Chakra Chaputra. And originally the purpose was to be the biggest real estate company in Asia, then to make profits as the largest real estate company and tithe those profits, which is great. This company has been notably Christian for a few years and has been very active in donating in the community. However, after going through the program for 2 weeks and applying the 10P scorecard and learning some different biblical principles, my client Chakra had a mind shift, which helped cause both personal and then corporate transformation.
Next slide.
One of the amazing miracles that I saw on this EQUIP venture was the transformation of a client's personality. So personal transformation. And that's something very different with EQUIP. We stress that the leader must go through personal transformation and realignment with God's purpose and repositioning so that they can really receive what God is trying to tell them. And only after the personal transformation can they then work on the whole company and bring the whole company into alignment with God's purpose. So it really has to start with the owner. On this venture, our group really prayed and loved the client, Chakra. We prayed with and for Chakra every day because he was so distracted and so shy in the beginning of the consultation. For a whole week, he really didn't say much. And, you know, when I asked him, do you have any passion? What are you passionate about? He said, I don't have any passion because my father is the one who built this business, not me. He has the passion. And as the case with many of our Asian clients, the son or daughter that's going to inherit this business doesn't feel as strongly about the business. So many who come to our consultation are thinking of leaving their family business because maybe they want to pursue ministry full time, or maybe they want to do something else. Anyway, after much prayer and much love with the client, just getting to know him, asking him personal questions, finding out what makes him tick, he really started to open up and change. And his face was very different at the end of the consultation. He was much happier, smiling and joking. He even was talking to a lot more clients and doing some public speaking, which was exact opposite of how he was in the beginning. And he had a mind shift, which was, well, originally I can go through this business and tithe the profits, but now what I want to do is use all my assets for God's glory, every aspect of the business, not just the profits.
Okay, just a sign of two. So for those who are not from Indonesia, this is the biggest real estate company. They worth about $2.6 billion, and as Amy mentioned before, they do pretty much everything. So one of the good credits that they have is they own a mall. It's not the mall they usually like. But 4 years ago, when the father of Chakra became Christian, he decided to just remove the light up, turn it around, make it into a worship place for church. So that's one good example. The other one for personal transformation is on the day that we did the picture on the second week. Amy shared about like personal story about like how when she grew up, she did not get affirmed by the parents, and a lot of the clients almost like cry because they can relate to that as an Asian. And during the afternoon when we have the break, then Chakra go out to buy a birthday cake, and they would say, what did you buy? He said, well, I wanted to celebrate birthday with you guys because my family never celebrated birthday with me. So, and then we take one picture, that he just laughed like that. So it's good to see him very happy and transform and become more confident. Next slide, please.
While teaching the people, Petey, we talk about a concept called household, where in the Bible, you'll see reference made to household 160 times. And when God talks about household, he's not just talking about the immediate family. He's talking about the owner and everyone under the owner's economic sphere of influence, including all of the servants and really employees. So when God talks about saving the owner or a person, he also talks about saving that person and his household, his whole household.
Nice, please.
We bring clients through an exercise on household where the client calculates how big his household or economic sphere of influence is. So I ask Chakra to calculate how many people are in his immediate family, a extended family like cousins, 30. How many employees do you have? He said, well, we have so many for the hotels, the golf courses, the mall, the headquarters, so maybe about 1,000. And then I said, well, of those people, they probably are part of a larger family. Maybe they are the breadwinner and they have three other folks at home that they're taking care of. So really, it's a household of four. So you have influence because you've hired one person over the lives of four people. So we multiply that 1,000 employees he had by four. And we did the same for subcontractors, all the people building his building, customers that go through the mall. I mean, these malls are packed with people. And then the family of the customers, etc. And when we did the calculations, he could actually influence over 12 million people. He thought, wow, I've never thought about my household or my business in this way. I mean, he got convicted. And he realized that he could use his business that God gave him very powerfully if he saw these people in his household. And we also had one owner of a food and beverage company in this last venture, and he sold about 2 million products a month and had about 25 million people in his household. With about 10 clients and their households, we covered about one-third of the population of Indonesia just in an equip venture that they have a potential sphere of influence over. So really, for my client, I said, you know, you are the minister of the largest congregation in Indonesia that I've ever met, with 12 million people that you could influence. How great is that?
Yeah, so this is one of the very popular concepts that we teach, and we shift the paradigm for the executive when they think about how they run their business. Because not only do they make the money now, they know how much positive impact they can create based on the people that they will serve and the ripple effect that they will have in the community. So they would like this concept a lot. It's like this.
Indonesia has a large mall culture. And this picture is taken at my client's mall called Caputra Mall on a regular weeknight. And you can see how many people are there watching something going on stage. So he saw this picture and he thought, how can I reach these people and touch these people in my household? This is my new challenge. How do I shepherd these people? The problem oftentimes with regular places of worship is that they can't attract these people. So how can I affect these people who have already been attracted to my mall? How awesome is that? My client went through personal transformation, and then, click, there was corporate transformation. Praise God. When a client repurposes his company for God's glory, it's not a radical shift, and the client doesn't change his business completely. Really, it's a slight shift in mindset. So in the Bible, we see that Peter was originally a fisherman, and after he got repurposed, he became a fisher of men. In the same way, with my client, remember his original purpose was to be the largest real estate developer in Asia. And here, we can see his purpose statement is to provide strategic places in the center of key cities to help people experience God's love in the marketplace. He would like to fulfill that through a couple strategies, such as family members, directors, and then employees understand and share the same purpose. And he wants to develop communities where people can experience and find God's love, where their needs will be met and their hurts healed. So you see, when my client experienced personal and corporate transformation and repurposed and dedicated his business to God, he's still doing real estate. It's just a slight mindset shift. I also worked with another client down in South Africa called Power Development. You may have heard of the leader, Graham Power, who started the Global Day of Prayer. They shifted their purpose from being building developers to kingdom developers. So they repositioned the company as kingdom developers. So what do you think it looks like to run your business as a kingdom developer versus just a building developer? How do you use your resources? 100% for God, and to be completely ethical in all business dealings. So again, the repurposing is just a slight mindset shift for the owners.
Okay, so what you look at here, when we do our scorecard, on each one of the P, we always have a statement to focus on the P, and then we come up with a strategy. And then after that, we will have key performance indicator to make sure they know how to implement those strategy. And at the side of about product development, one of the marketplace miracles that happened to them is when first consult with them, they really need to strategy, but they always have meetings. So during the consultation, they always have to step out, answer some certain call. Then on Wednesday of the first week, they get a call, and then the accounting department from the company say that we have a miscalculation in our accounting practice, and we owe the government $2 million. And they say, oh wow, we need to pay for that. So they pray with the consultant. Then the next day, by lunchtime, they get another phone call, but this time it's from the one of the worker in the office. They say, guess what, we just sell a property. And the miracle about that is the property don't have any activity for the past 6 years at all. And they sell it one afternoon, and the amount that they make exactly covers the amount that they owe. And so after that miracle happened, they take us a lot more serious. And since then, they just like send different team coming in, right? Venture after venture. So in terms of like repurposing that business, what do they mean by kingdom developer? So when they go into a site to build a community, not only do they build the commercial and residential area, but they also will designate a specific area for a piece of worship. So they will have the pastor coming to have that community. So that was like a couple of years ago. Then last year, another miracle happened. So the year before, for the whole year, they only developed 15 sites. Last year, on the first month in January, they already covered that and more. And they become builder of the year in South Africa. And now they have partnership from different countries to help them to build low-income housing, especially in those areas that have tsunami affected area. Next slide, please.
On the 10th and final day of the consultation, clients give a special presentation where they share their testimonies, journeys, lessons learned, and miracles that they experienced during the 2 weeks. There usually are so many miracles during these ventures and so many lives that are touched that it's just amazing. And there is a lot of crying that goes on, because it's just unbelievable to see the Holy Spirit working in these folks. And after the presentation, we pray for our clients and we commission them as marketplace ministers. Here, you can see pictures of the marketplace ministers in Indonesia.
Yeah, so this is also very touching too, because a lot of time, references South Africa and Asia, it's usually the guy who runs the business, and they don't include the household, which means their spouse or family member. And when we teach them about the concept, then they know that it takes a team or partnership, especially with their spouse. So on that day, they will always say that, oh, please forgive me, I don't know before, but now you are my partner, not only for the family, but also in business. So there's a lot of like healing going through that too, which is really powerful. And also with different generations also. It's like this.
What now? After the venture, clients are not alone in their struggle to implement the 10P scorecard. There's a 100-day program that follows the two-week venture where people pray and implement the scorecard strategies together. Business owners meet bi-weekly, in triplets or small groups, and keep each other accountable. They report on the action items that they've done for a particular key, and any measurable results, like the key performance indicators. And this is really an encouraging time for the people in the small group, because they're part of a community of like-minded business people that share similar issues. In Indonesia, bribery, corruption, those are really big issues that the owners all face. It could even be having one set of books versus three sets of books and how to deal with that. In this picture, you'll see the man on the far left. He owns a chemical company, and he decided he was going to share his belief system with everyone, his employees, including the Muslims, that he only wanted to have one set of books and to be honest about those books, which is very rare in Indonesia. And so that came out during the 100-day program. Now, Let's hear from the CEO of Informatics, Dr. Suparno, about his thoughts on the 100-day program.
So that would be the slide. And just double click on that and it will go up. And okay, one more time, please.
So they have also are involved in equipped ventures. So when we do a 100-day program, we have 8 or 9 people whose heart has already been. The thing I like best about the equipped program. We send 8 people to be trained as consultants. And many of these people, they have also are involved in equipped ventures. So when we do a 100-day program, we have 8 or 9 people whose heart has already been changed and transformed by God to understand our role as marketplace ministers. So therefore, when we meet together for a 100-day program, we have input from accountants, we have input from business development people, input from product development, input from management. And so when all get together, there's a beautiful picture, a beautiful harmony. I'm glad that in business we have God's part and our part. In God's part is that He's the source and He's in control. Our part is that we should be good stewards. And I think following the 100 days program is helping us to be good stewards of the resources that God has given to us, so that we are able to use the company as His tools, with Him as the owner and us as the stewards, to transform the society around us.
Dr. Suparno is great. He may call on Christmas Day working on this too, so it's very hard work on that, but it's awesome. Yeah. So now we're going to case study, and first of all, give you some background on Indonesia.
Indonesia is trying to bounce back from the Asian financial crisis that hit in 1997. There were very high interest rates which caused many banks to fail and people to rob and steal and burn buildings. Right now, there's a high unemployment rate and a fragile banking sector. There's an overarching poor investment climate due to the instability of the region, as well as the huge amounts of corruption and bribery, and the lack of infrastructure in terms of telecom or internet and basic human needs like water and sewage. Indonesia also has been hit by many natural disasters. You've probably heard of the problems in Aceh, tsunami, and earthquake, causing billions of dollars in damages and lost lives. In addition, there's been a huge fuel hike. And this fuel hike has caused small and large companies to go out of business, because as transportation costs increase due to the gas or oil prices, there's not a lot of money for other things. So traveling to and from work and shipping products has hurt Indonesia, especially against countries like China, where oil is of high use and lower in price. The population is pretty large at 250 million, And right now, the largest ethnic groups there are the Sundanese, which is mainly a Muslim group. And there's also 88% of the population are Muslims or classify themselves as such. And the official language is Bahasa Indonesia, but some of the people there speak English and Dutch. The interest rates in general for business have come down to about 16 or 18%, which is still high and has caused many investors to not look at Indonesia. Indonesia's purchasing power parity is far below that of the U.S. At $3,600 a year, that's about an average salary for people. A college graduate who's worked several years, who may have studied abroad in places like Australia or New Zealand, are earning about $4,000 a year. One of Indonesia's greatest challenges is its inability to attract foreign investors. A major reason for this is it is not easy to do business in or with Indonesia. If you look on this chart, Indonesia versus other Southeast Asian countries and Western nations, it costs far more and takes more time to actually get a business started and then to sustain or maintain that business. So many foreign investors don't even want to look at pouring money into Indonesia. Now, on to our case study of Informatics. Informatics is in the education industry. They offer testing and certification, as well as language courses, and many other products and services. They were a client during the first venture, and since then, in the last year, have sent 8 key staff members through Equip Consultant Training because they believe that if they can fill their staff with people who share the same vision, who also align their work and their faith, that this company can move ahead as a group. So these key staff members help lead the 100-day program that meets bi-weekly. And there, they try to implement the strategies that the group came up with for the 10P scorecard. Informatics offers numerous products and services to the Indonesian market, including IT testing and certification, licensing, sales leadership and customer service training, higher education help, as well as language courses in Mandarin Chinese and English. They would like their products to enable students to maximize their career potential against the unemployment giant. When we talk about giants, we talk about these very big and ominous enemies that keep Indonesia down. Here, we're talking about lack of education and unemployment as giants. During the consultation, we teach our clients best business practices, which in fact come from biblical principles. For example, the true north for organizations is focusing everything on bringing glory to God. And businesses can take steps to deliberately reflect God's nature, God's ways, and His workings with man. We also share scripture that support the biblical principles. For example, from Proverbs, we see that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Very few important ways on how to integrate our faith and work in a place that we spend almost one half of our lives. And last year, the thing we found that Equip was such a program that our company needed. As a manager, I found
Equip program was very helpful in defining strategies with appropriate KPIs and translating them into action items. And now, we can see that during the 100-day program, company has started to discuss, apply, and evaluate through its hands meeting. Program involve link day-to-day activities to assure the entire team sense the same spirit. And as we are repurposing forward and continue to quit, people start to believe that miracles are applied for business too.
Dr. Sukarno shares with us some verses that help frame his thinking around purpose. He says that we're not dependent on how gifted or clever we are, but that God is in control and is the owner and the grantor. That if God owns the business, it is up to Him to make us at Informatics successful. So really, it reduces Sukarno's stress level. Let's look at the before and after of Informatics' purpose. In the beginning, they wanted to be the leading certification and training provider. And after they became repurposed, they wanted to add value to the Indonesian professionals through skills development and certification, thereby enabling the maximization of their career potential. So, again, remember we talked about the slight shift? Informatics went from being a training company to being a people development company and really caring about people and shepherding the household of people that walk through the testing and training centers and learn from all of the language teachers, everyone in the household. We teach our clients about positioning. When you ask a marketing professional, what is positioning? They'll often tell you it's how they would market or sell their product versus the competitors. In other words, how they would differentiate their product or service. Well, we also provide a biblical reflection of positioning, where we tell our clients that they must first position themselves properly with God to receive God's blessing, that they have to position themselves and their company for success through prayer, through telling the truth, through pleasing God and not man, humility, and seeking wisdom. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Dynamic at the company, especially for those that involved in the training and following through programs at full. One thing that really shows in the training is the sense that of unity that we realize that we do know daily and often as a man is to worship God as important as critical as what we do in our family and church. It brought a whole new paradigm shift in our definition of working. And also grow up a sense of unity as we realize that we are a company for a reason and we also need each other's support in prayer, friendship, and of course professionally. Well, Equip has brought the company for its benefits. What is this simple?
The informatics staff have positioned themselves well for God's blessing, that they depend on Jesus and in prayer, and now they're starting to witness sales successes and huge victories and many, many contracts. Their core values and the way they differentiate their products and services are through people orientation, integrity, excellence, professionalism, innovation, and blessing. In the beginning, informatics only provided one service, IT training, and offered Mandarin courses. Afterwards, they repositioned themselves as the bridge for Indonesian institutions to achieve global competence, that they're the bridge between course providers and training centers and users. They've become a developer and training provider and have capitalized on the academic content. Now they offer over 15 different products and services across disciplines and in different mediums. So they went from being just a trainer to being the bridge to educate Indonesia.
And reconsider what our real purpose is. Together with all executive staff, find out what we really want to be by the year 2010 and revisit our purpose. Now we know more obviously our role and position in Indonesian market and hoping we could be an institution which the academician and professionals look for their career development. Have reviewed our key process, we realize and should frankly admit that we still have weakness in this area. And it's our urgent need to create a clear systematic system and be consistent in implementation or leverage our current business situation.
Before informatics lacked many formal business processes. Their teams did not collaborate or share information. There were no formal procedures to evaluate any of the projects, and they really had no focus or set goals. However, after, they created more coordinating meetings where department heads can brainstorm on market forces and challenges, and they even have some people who are dedicated to finding market intelligence or competitive analysis information. The results have been positive, with increased student enrollment, profitability with classes and seminars, and also effective staff members. When teaching about partnership, we ask our clients, what if they had an unequally yoked business partner? What would that look like? When is it important? When is it not so important? We tell them that partnering is actually risky, and 1 + 1 must be more than 2 if they are to enter a partnership, and in fact, should be more than 4 to make it worthwhile. But really, they should start small. They should look at their partners that they have right now and see if they've been faithful in little. Also, we teach them biblical principles that the triple braided cord is not easily broken, and that how can 2 walk together except they be agreed? And of course, not to partner with the wicked. We can even see a partnership in the Trinity. Our clients can have a huge transformational impact if they have a large network. As you see in this diagram, there is an impact network here, and it consists of a client, and directly opposite them are contributors or suppliers to the client. And across, we see competitors and then complementers, people who can add to the business and increase business. Now, for Dr. Zapata's company, they have the clients who could be students, it could be business professionals. So complementers, people who can add to business, they could be other testing facilities, other people who create curriculum, just like informatics, and who license curriculum, because informatics can license that curriculum and then offer its services as a facility. So if you slide along the horizontal line, you see that some of the competitors are also complementers. Now, when I asked Dr. Suparno, what would it be like to have an unequally yoked partner? And all, are all partners treated equal? He said no. That if he's trying to enter a joint venture type of relationship, then yes, having core values that are similar, having vision that is similar, is important. Character, integrity, these are very important aspects to find in a potential partner, and it's not easy to change those. However, if there's a supplier, like someone who sells him pens once a month, who is not a believer or doesn't share the same vision, that's okay. Before going through the impact network exercise, Informatics had only one partner in Singapore for the 2.5 years that they were doing business. Now, they've gone out deliberately to form partnerships with key players in the industry and have diversified their revenue streams through these multiple partnerships. You can see in testing, certification, and in training. So they formed 15 international partnerships and school collaboration, a huge network impact. Does informatics have transformational impact? Why don't you be the judge? Instead of opening one or two centers on their own, they can now work with their partners. Instead of just having people come into one or two of their own centers, they can go out to more. Before, Suparna's household was only about 1,000 students. But now, working with 100 institutions of between 2 and 10,000 students each, on average, let's say 5,000 students, they can actually reach 500,000 students in their household. I'm greatly blessed to be part of the Equip training. It has strengthened my faith in God and elevated my work to a more spiritually meaningful experience. Being a junior partner of God in this business, in this true Lord, in this property on earth, I feel that inner sense of responsibility to do my best in the conduct of my daily work. The nature of our partnership with schools requires a great amount of integrity, transparency, knowledge, and experience that can only come from God when we do it according to God's purpose and plan. I find serendipity in the process of meeting and agreeing with our school partners, especially now that we have a repurposed business. Thanks so much for your good training. Informatics wants to tackle the giants of homelessness, poverty, and unemployment. They say that people can't get jobs when they graduate because Malaysian universities and other places in Southeast Asia are seen as being better. Even Indians and Filipinos are benefiting more because of their advanced English language skills. And Filipino nurses get paid about 15 times higher than Indonesians. There are many vocational schools that are set up to help with language, but they're not doing a good job. So Informatics sees a need and is planning to fill that. They're trying to get funding from the World Bank to set up better testing facilities and training facilities. And they also may enter an agreement with a call center to train in both English and Indonesian, as well as customer service. As Informatics plans for the future, they do face challenges being in a Muslim nation. Yao, the finance manager, thinks it's really hard to expand the gospel, that every Christian movement is tightly monitored by the government and Muslim organizations. And the only way that they can really witness is through positive principles and values, through action. They can't mention the Bible, but they can turn most of the verses into principles or values that will enhance people's lives. However, within Informatics, it's not an obstacle to apply biblical principles since many of the key personnel have gone through Equip training because they're believers. Dr. Suparno thinks that being in education and training, it's pretty easy to get ahead because they attract students who want to be Christ-centered or at least have good character and integrity. He says that the market share may be reduced, but he thinks that there's still enough money for businesses who want to do business in a forthright way. So they're attracting the right people in the schools and the right employees. The informatics staff wishes all of you at Urbana a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. In this case study, we have witnessed a company that is completely sold out for God. We have people who have gone through personal transformation and a deeper relationship with God. These people have repositioned themselves for God's blessing. They have repurposed and realigned the company for God's glory. They went from merely being an IT training facility to a people development company and caring about the household of Indonesia and the giant of education and unemployment. They have repositioned themselves mainly from a training company to a bridge to educate Indonesia. They've gone from offering a single product to many products, so therefore they found a need in the Indonesian market and filled it. They originally had one partner and then became partner with 15 other people that serve the same purpose, that are going in the same direction. And originally, they were just regular, logical business planners. And now, they pray into their plans, and they pray before they embark on new plans. They're spirit-led. This is a great story of how just one company has decided to apply biblical thinking to everyday business, how they're converging their work and their faith and living it out every day in the Indonesian market.
So, to finish the case study, some of the takeaway questions that we want to think about. Let's say company second for management. First of all, what if your company were the only vehicle that Jesus had to reach the world? So, when we ask the same question to the executive, we help them to shift their mindset, not only running as a business, also as a kingdom business. And then we'll follow up with another question, then how will you change your company focus and activities? And from that, they really see the transformation happen within their company too. Next slide, please. And more application that we think about is, first of all, if my entire business was focused on competing God's business, I would probably do what? Then we make them to go for this exercise in one of those structured days. And from that, then they will translate those into action items. And then the second question we always ask them is, my personal hindrance to repurposing has been what? And it's different from different country. As Amy mentioned before, in Indonesia, they have different giants, and those are very different from South Africa. This last piece. One question you may ask right now is like, okay, so you see all that, what does it mean? So we try to give a good example of what convergence really means. First of all, you know that maybe you're interested in creating business, but how do you converge with the calling that you feel God is telling you, what type of community that you're passionate about, and in terms of creativity, what are your spiritual gifts that you can make this all happen? During the training and equip, we also teach people about those topics, and one of the other person coming up later will talk about some of their kingdom career path that they come up with during that bootcamp, which may be also helpful for you to understand this concept. Next slide, please. So as for me, what are some of the reflections that I have when I go through the venture in South Africa, as well as in Jakarta, Indonesia? First of all, it all started with obedience. From myself, when I say that, I mentioned to my family that I will be going to Jakarta, they're very nervous because of all the bad rap that we receive from the news, and it's so unsafe and this and that. But when I actually go there, it's pretty safe, people are nice, the company are very good to work with, and I have a great experience not only for consulting but also learn. So I'm glad I made that decision to be obedient first.
And the second thing is anything that come up during the mission trip. So it takes a lot of ways to serve and just don't worry about what we plan one or whatnot. And the third thing is it's a good tune-up for me to realign myself with God's purpose moving forward. And it's just great to see how the professional can all work together and try to equip and best the other nation for business consulting in the marketplace. And it also reminds me of a fundamental but yet frequent forgotten lesson, which is when God is at the center of our lives, everything else falls into pieces. So we just need to have more faith to go through those paces and just convert everything that we know and just be obedient to God. Next slide, please. So as you see from here, Equip is expanding in Asia. So before they go to like South Africa, now India and Indonesia, and in 2008 in China. But in 2007, we're going to bring an exploration team to Shanghai and Beijing first and start developing relationship. The principle that we think about is just like in the Bible, we want to identify the man or woman of peace in those communities who are like Christian business man or woman and work with them, because it's important to have a right partnership to work together. And once we go to a country, we will commit at least 5 years to make sure they develop good network with the Christian community, and then they will support each other. And hopefully in the future, they can also work from different nations around the world, since they all like opportunity together and can support each other. Next slide, please. So we still have the booth tomorrow from 1:30 to 5:30 at Adams Mark Hotel, and some of the alum who go through the program should be there too, so feel free to drop at the booth, pick up some more information, and check out our website. Next slide, please. So this picture pretty much like showed the consultant go through. That was like last year. Right now we have over 100 US consultants and maybe about 50 overseas consultants that work together. And it's pretty much like family, because like when we go through training and go through venture together, we still keep in touch and support the next team going. So it's like extended family. And it's very international, as you see, just like what we would normally happen. Next slide, please. So I want to get a representative from Alibaba to talk about their business and also activity in Southeast Asia, especially in Vietnam. So you want to talk about that first, since you start out?
Step out? Oh, okay. Is he going to be back if you don't? Or?
No, he get a call.
Oh, okay. That's just fine. I can mention. Okay, thank you.
I'm not speaking, usually speaking on a mic, but my name is Tong, and thank you, David, for just giving me the opportunity just to share with you guys about Alabaster Enterprises. Basically, in a nutshell, what we are is a fund, and we fund Christian entrepreneurs, or we finance people who want to start businesses, create businesses that has a kingdom focus. And right now, our initial focus is Southeast Asia, and the reason for being in Southeast Asia is...
Thank you very much.
Is that Sunny and myself are Vietnamese American, and we
can you guys hear me? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sunny and myself are Vietnamese American, and we understand the region, and we go back to Vietnam quite often, and we have a connection at the highest level in Vietnam. So we thought that we would start where we are strongest, and if God willing, that we expand to other regions of the world, then we will. We also have a booth at Amos Mark, so please check us out. We also have brochures for you, and in here we'll just give you a more detailed information of who we are, who we fund, and the purpose of our existence. And I guess I'll just take a couple of questions. If you guys want to find more information about Alabaster, you can definitely stop by the booth tomorrow. But if you guys have questions, I would love to answer some of them. Yes.
As far as the funding goes, first one would be who provides the funding, and we have an actual mission of business, and then are you doing
that as a donor or an investor? Gotcha. We are an investor. We are privately funded right now, and that part is taken care of. Our greatest need right now is for entrepreneurs. We have business ideas, and we need people to execute them. Or if you do come in with a vision, then we will work with you. What we have coming in 08 is a one-month intensive MBA training course, where through this training course we will so like our residents in training, and through this we will fund about 2 or 3 businesses. The training camp is open to all people, but initially we will only fund businesses in Southeast Asia. I hope that answered your question. I guess I'll give it to Sunny now. Sunny is the CEO and the founder of Alabaster Enterprises.
This is Sunny, but let's talk about for a second. But just a couple of quick the personal background is that we're I run a medical device business. This is my second company. After the school, I went to work for a big company, Microsoft, and left, started a PhD, dropped out, like a bunch of my friends, started a software company, sold it, internet boom kind of thing, and got roped into doing this medical device business, which I've been doing for the last 5 years. So that's my background. We're here, you may have seen a bunch of us in these red shirts, and you know, we're not a cult, it's actually just a fun that's trying to do God's work in Southeast Asia. We're mostly what we're looking for is entrepreneurs. You know, fundamentally we believe that there are a lot more opportunities than there are people to do it. Truly the harvest is very ripe, and we're looking for lots of harvesters, you know, or just some a few very good ones. And just a couple of quick notes though about Southeast Asia, just to complement some of what David was talking about. I don't know if you've seen this little piece of propaganda that we've placed in your chairs. You know, why is Southeast Asia so attractive to us? Again, just building on some of what David was saying, half the world's poor, of a population of 1.3 billion, 85% live on less than $2 a day, so a lot of poor people. One of the highest illiteracy rates in the world, greater than 40% on average in over that region. Very diverse, speakers of over 1,000 languages and dialects in 4 major language groups throughout that whole region. So talk about communications issues, you know, it's almost 700 unreached people groups according to the Joshua Project. That is so a lot of people who don't know Jesus, and so all sorts of issues to deal with: the diversity, communications, unreachedness, etc. And that said, it has some of the fastest growing economies in the world. Vietnam growing 8.6% last year, it's just phenomenal. Cambodia 7%. So you know, what's going on here in Southeast Asia? It's really a very dynamic space right now, and we want to be a part of that action. Investment environments are among some of the most promising in the Eastern Hemisphere. Merrill Lynch named it as the top buy in Asia, and there's some other investment banks said it was a 10-year buy, a 10-year hold on strong buy, 10-year hold in Asia. And Merrill Lynch even went as far to say the rate of change in Vietnam is accelerating beyond our optimistic assessments. So that's just Vietnam. There's all of these other economies as well. And so we're excited to be there, and we just feel that with the size of the with the confluence of all of these forces, the speed of growth in the economy, the level of poverty and lack of evangelization in some of these regions, it's a perfect place to start for BAM and this type of work. And so that's one of the reasons why we're focused there. So Alabaster, like what Tom was saying, looking for entrepreneurs first, then teams that would work with entrepreneurs, first and second employee type of things, who would support entrepreneurs and work for in these companies, and then in advisors and mentors who would work with these companies. Thirdly, and finally, Alabaster itself, where you know we will eventually add staff, and we're always can use all the help we can get, so volunteers of whatever sorts, if you want to get involved, just talk to one of us in the red shirts. So any questions about that? I just didn't want to take too much time, but it was just a quick overview of what we're doing while we're here.
Yeah, a couple questions. One is, can you share some of your criteria in deciding which business to invest? And also, so question two is, what are your financing terms as far as making
sure? Sure. Okay, so the question was, how do we decide on who to invest in, and what are the typical terms? So the first answer to the first question is, we're looking at businesses that have that will meet a number of fairly aggressive financial requirements. So we're looking for things that are high growth, high and also high revenue at maturity type of business plans. Okay, so internet cafes and arts and crafts, not interested. A new way to manufacture oil filters that you can license to Goodyear, would love to talk to you. A new form of solar panel manufacturing, would love to talk to you. So anything with a competitive advantage. Some sort of unfair competitive advantage would be great. Looking at both technology as well as non-technology types of things as well, and investments would differ whether, and business plan requirements would differ whether it requires R&D or not. Terms, it's either it'll be debt or equity. If it's debt, it'll be converted. We'll do like a convertible note type of thing. If it's equity, then it's equity. But we're assuming that in many of these situations, it's going to be debt, just because many of these situations may not be the equity just may not be appropriate for this type of environment. So.
There's some examples of the types of businesses you've already been.
Sure. I'm assuming you're talking about Alabaster, not myself. And
right.
Okay. Well, Alabaster is a relatively young entity. We've only been working on this for the last year. We've had to accelerate our development because of Urbana 06 was coming, and 09 was a little bit would be a bit too far out. We've made an investment in another BAM fund, but other than that, we haven't actually pushed forward with many investment activities to date. Like Tong was saying, we're looking to do more of that in 07 and get our more of our programmatic aspects done in 08. Okay. We're definitely very open to syndications in terms of investments, and in terms of investment volume, non-technology companies up to about $500,000 U.S. and technology-based companies, meaning things that require R&D patents and that type of thing, up to $1.5 million over the life of our investment involvement. The idea is we'd like, after that amount of commitment has been expended, the expectation is that the entrepreneur will be able to fundraise on his or herself.
Actually, can I ask a question to David about
quick? Is that yeah. Didn't
want to
steal the show.
Sure. I'm
sorry.
I'm all ready to talk about you, but go ahead and ask.
In Indonesia, I work in Sumatra, in the Mandate area, and with Indonesia, with businesses starting up businesses at the tsunami region, the main problem in the basement has not only been just
proclaiming deficiencies? I know in Jakarta it's not as big, but if you look at just the Muslim population also in Jakarta, like what kind of problems does that have for your business proclaiming that there are deficiencies? And also, are you kind of, do you proclaim that? Also, my other question is concerning the government itself, if you have problems with the government, and what kind of communication you have with the government?
Okay, sure. So on the first part, the account that we have that pretty big and influential company in Jakarta or in Indonesia. So people know that they're Christian, but they are still very diplomatic in terms of working with their partner who are Muslim. Because as because they know them as business partner and also on a personal basis too. So that helped. But they go about doing that very discreet and respect other people's faith, but still be very firm about their own faith practice too. So that part's good. On the second question, in terms of the government, interesting enough, again, those people who run the business, they also sit on the parliament. So like the one that I consult, which is an oil and gas company, the father who owned the company, he sit on the parliament since like the 70s. Yeah, and then for the company, for Chapter Group, again, they also, the father also sit on parliament. So they are pretty influential. Yeah, about that, but what we're able to teach them is to integrate their faith and also use it as part of the business, which they don't see the correlation or the linkage before, but after they repurpose the business, they get more tools to work with. Hopefully that was a good example for other companies on that. But anyway, going back to, so maybe one of the reasons I asked you to present is a lot of people may probably ask you here, well, I'm interested in marketplace industry, but I'm still a student right now. I haven't really worked yet. So what does it all mean? So the good thing about that is that I think you mentioned when we talked before, like back in 2003, when you go to conference, you learn about this, to get excited about that, and then look for the 3 years to work on it. So that's a good example that when you learn something in here, definitely God plant the seed in your heart, and just have the confidence to move forward, and you see an example of how you accomplish from this time around and already involved in marketing industry. So it's very good role model to follow. And the other question that people may have is like, okay, I'm a student right now, I'm not ready to go out to do short-term mission trip like Equip or long-term like his organization. What else do we have in offer? So I want to bring up Brad to come up with the bootcamp for people who are still in school right now but still want to talk about or to learn about marketplace industry, so they're ready to go with that. And one of the features they can come career path.
Hi, I'm Brad Smith, and I've been involved in administering the marketplace for the last 27 years, primarily in the real estate business. What we have coming up, the Marketplace Initiative is sponsoring the Bootcamp Intensive. There's a flyer on each of the seats there. Basically, it's going to be an immersion marketplace's mission strategy that takes place over a 7-week period of time in the Bay Area, with some business internships with owners of Christian companies in and around the greater San Francisco Bay Area. And that's going to be coming up the latter part of June through the first part of August this next year. And more information in the flyers. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to stick around and answer any questions for you. And we have Michael Delanis with us also. So I know time's gone. So any questions at all?
Okay. So just as no procrastination, no bad word looks, you can put God's kingdom off to tomorrow, since the day from your 962. So hopefully you find this information useful in this seminar, and you talk to us after this and keep in touch. God bless you.